You know, I want to talk to us tonight about increasing our capacity to receive. You know, we all the time having people calling out to God in prayer and asking for things, and really that's what they need to do. But however, a lot of times people are asking God for things, they never get them, and it seems to turn them off, and they seem to want to turn away from God. And the problem is not God, the problem is the person has never built inside of themselves the capacity to receive. You know, and I want to focus on that word capacity, which means the maximum amount or number that can be contained or accommodated. In other words, capacity refers to the amount that one is able to contain, hold, or receive. You know the story, a guy was catching fish. Man, he was doing out at the lake, and he was really catching fish. And he kept throwing the big ones back and keeping the little ones. And finally, one guy asked him, said, "Well, why are you throwing the big ones back?" He replied, "Because my frying pan is only 8 inches. You know, I don't fish a whole lot, but when I do, I like the crappie fish because that's the best pan frying fish there is. And my grandboys, they like to fish for them bass and try to catch a big one, and then they throw them all back because that's just what you're supposed to do with bass. Anyway, you know, but we need to realize that hearing and doing God's word enables us to increase our capacity. Now, in Luke 5, verse number 4, I'm going to read the Message translation of this. When he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let your nets out for a catch." And Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets. It was no sooner said than done. A huge haul of fish straining at the nets past their capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come over and help them. They filled both boats until they were swamped with fish. Now, Peter had fished all night. And Peter was a fisherman. That was his trade. So now, he knew what to do. He had operated according to what he knew to do. He knew the fishing business. But Jesus told him, said, "Go out there and let down your nets." And at the words of Jesus, he said, "I'll do it if you say so." Believing those words gave him the capability to catch the fish. You know, we need to realize that our capacity and our ability to receive the promises of God is based upon how much word that we are taking in. You know, when you hear the right things, you believe the right things, and your action is right. You hear the wrong things, you believe the wrong things, and your action is wrong. There's a little book out in the bookstore there. It's a pretty good little book written by a fellow that I'm named after. It's called Right and Wrong Thinking. Anybody ever read that book? You know, sometimes when you start a new job, you discover all of a sudden the learning curve is steeper than you thought it was going to be. And you're just hanging on just to be able to accomplish and do the job because you don't want to lose the job. But after a little while, you know, it's easy. What was difficult before is not difficult anymore. What made the difference? You increased your capacity or your level that you needed to be successful in that job. How'd you do it? By learning the right things, by developing the necessary skills, and by building endurance to stay with it until you accomplished. Tonight, I want you to think about increasing your capacity to receive from God. Now, what God can and wants to do for us is greater than we can even think. Psalms 23:5 says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing." Now, I want you to look at that. My cup overflows with blessing. You know, if you go right down here on the corner and go in there to Quick Trip, and you're going to get you where I come from in Texas, we call everything a Coke. They'll come to me and say, "What kind of Coke you want?" "I want a Dr. Pepper." Well, anybody else do that where y'all come from? So you go down there, you want to get a soft drink. Let's put it that way. Okay. They got different sizes. You go right over here to Sonic and you order a drink, and then they'll ask you what size, right? The size of the drink depends upon how big the cup is, depend upon the capacity that it can hold. Now, there's a bunch of cups. As you notice, as we went down, I missed a couple in here between this one, but that's all right. As you go down the line, they're all getting shorter. So if your capacity to receive is like this, and somebody else's is like this, a lot of times people say, "Well, I don't understand. Every time they pray, they get all their answers from God, and I hardly get in." It's because you haven't increased your capacity. My dad used to say, "You can only receive the amount of promises from God according to what your faith is." The promises are real, but it's according to your faith, your capacity. See, this is the big cup. All right. This may be the 44 ouncer. I don't know. But, you can get a 32 ounce and 20 ounce, 16 ounce. I think this may be a 16 ounce here. This down here, probably maybe 8 ounces, or maybe four. I don't know. I don't know the ounces on it, but it's really interesting then why this little simple exercise simply shows us why some people are receiving more from God than you are. Go to the same church, you hear the same message and so forth, but that's the problem. Many people, the only word that they're taking in is what they hear at church. And their capacity stays down here. The guy that goes home and studies the message that he heard and studies more of the word increases his capacity to receive. There's no shortage on the resource side. The shortage is on our side. Oral Roberts said this: "There is no shortage of God's resources, none whatsoever. There is only a shortage of faith in our understanding of the goodness of God. God's resources are limitless, but our capacity to receive is limited unless we do something about it." You know, everybody has muscles. We all have biceps. We have muscles. But you got some of these guys around here. I don't know about you ladies. I ain't talking about y'all. I don't know nothing about it. But some of these guys around here, man, they... Now, Brother Bill, he goes to the gym every morning at 5 o'clock every morning. He come in the other day and he was talking about, oh, I can hardly walk. He had been doing lunges, I think. But you see, his capacity, I could go to that class and where he's doing 25 reps, I might do 4 or 5. If I'm lucky. Why? Because my muscle capacity is not there. I have the same muscle, but he has built the capacity for that muscle to handle more strength. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? See, this is a very simple little lesson, but man, I think it really shows us. How many of you realize this is really showing us something? You know, you see, in it's our, we have to possess these promises of God, and we possess these promises of God. We start out when we with faith, our faith. Paul told the one church, their faith grew, was growing exceedingly. We all start with the same measure of faith. And we can go to heaven with that measure of faith. But if we want to receive all the promises of God, we're going to have to increase our capacity. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We're going to do that. See, you know. When I was in high school and playing ball and stuff, I mean, I worked hard at increasing my capacity of strength. Especially when I was playing running back and full and wide receiver, I wanted to increase my strength so when somebody grabbed a hold of me, I had the power to pull away from them. So I didn't get tackled. But I didn't do that just by wishing it or hoping it. I did it by doing some leg presses, some squats with weight on the bar on my shoulders. Why? Because then it gave me some power to push and to pull. That's what we need to do with our faith. We need to increase our faith. Everybody always talking about my dad's faith. Well, he got that by reading the word, by studying the word, hours on end. I remember I was in the first grade. He pastored that church down there in Van. I had a little bed there and like a rollaway bed deal, because my sister and my cousin's sister had the one bedroom, mom and dad had the other, and I had this rollaway bed. I never had my own bedroom until I had a rollaway bed. I never had my own bedroom until I was in the eighth grade. Dad got a house, and I got a bed. But I'd put that bed there in the living by the living room. And Dad had a desk over here. I'd be here. That desk was over here in the corner. And I would go to sleep. He was sitting at that desk with a lamp on the desk. And I would wake up in the morning, and he's still sitting at that desk. He'd been there all night. I saw him do it time and time again. When he left that church and went out on the field, in fact, I just saw the suitcase the other day out in my storage room. It's a green Samsonite suitcase, 1957 model, I believe it is. He carried, every time he would come home, sometimes he'd be gone 4 or 5 weeks, sometimes just a couple, 3 weeks. But he, if he'd be, when he was gone over a long period of time, he would change out. That suitcase had nothing in it but books. And he would read those. And he'd come back home, he'd go in the library, he'd in his library, and he'd get down books, he'd put those back in there. And after a while, he'd start all over again. Two books that he always kept with him and he always read was Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth and The Life of Faith by C.S. Newsom. He always had those books and read them. The other books he read constantly was the books by Lillian B. Yeomans. In fact, y'all, if you've heard him teach, you've heard him talk about it. But you see, his capacity for faith got him off a bed of affliction. But as he increased that capacity in his faith, it took him to another level. Anytime you talk, you hear these sportscasters talking about, well, man, they've been working out. They've gone to another level. What are they talking about? They've increased their capacity to compete. In Numbers 33 verse 50, I'm reading the NLT. While they were camped near the Jordan River on the plains of Moab, opposite Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, give the following instruction to the people of Israel. When you cross Jordan into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all the people living there. You must destroy all their carved and molded images, demolish their pagan shrines, take possession of the land, settle in it, because I have given it to you to occupy. God has given us our promised land. It's right here. And we are the ones that occupy it, or we just get part of it, or we don't get any of it at all. Like the old generation, they got there and they refused to go in. It was the young generation that went in. The only two that went in was Joshua and Caleb of the old crowd, because they, when the others said, we can't, they said, yes, we can. God said it. They increased their capacity. And Caleb, 40 years later, he goes to Joshua and he says, give me my mountain. Because he had already told him that he wanted that mountain, and Moses had said he could have it. Now, here Joshua says, wait a minute, Caleb. You're older now. And that's the mountain's got the giants in it. Caleb said, give me my mountain. I'm well able. I may be 85 years old, but my God is still the same God as he was when I was 40 years ago. His capacity was still the same. He had a conquering capacity because of what God said. God said, you can have the mountain, and he went and took it. We've got to get the capacity inside of us that God said it. I'm going to go get it. I'm going to occupy. Come on. Anybody getting anything now? I'm preaching better than your amen. You know, he always has more than enough. In Ephesians 3:20, and I'm going to read this from the New King James, the NLT, the Message, and the Voice. I like to go read different translations, because each translation gives you a little bit different look or view. Anybody found that out? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's the New King James. NLT says, "Now all the glory to God who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." The Message says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit, deeply and gently with us. The voice says, now to the God who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we could ever ask or imagine, through the power that works in us. The power that works in us. See, he's able to do more than we think. He's able to do mighty things. He's able to bring about supernatural miracles. He's able to accomplish the impossible. When they tell you it's not possible, it is possible. God said it was. When we limit ourselves with our thinking, then we limit God. Our thinking has to be unlimited. Our thoughts, our attitudes will determine our capacity. You know, here in 3 John 1 and 2, the elder, the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. He was telling his friend, see, many people quote that one scripture, but they don't realize, they don't ever read that first part up there. He actually was writing to his friend. He wanted him to prosper in all things. In all things. In all things. In all things. And in health, just as your soul prospers. When you get the right thoughts in your mind, it changes your capacity to receive. It changes your capacity to receive the blessings of God. It changes and helps your capacity for self-control in all situations. It helps you to know what to do in every situation that the devil throws at you. Your capacity is in, when you increase your capacity, it puts you in a position to solve the tough problems and not wring your hands and say, oh my God, what are we going to do? When you have increased your capacity, instead of wringing your hands and saying, what are we going to do? You immediately begin to say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Come on. When you increase your capacity from the Word of God, it gives you the staying power to stay with it no matter what. I came up with that saying, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. That doesn't mean I never have been defeated, but I've never quit, so I've always won. I just have always had this something on the inside of me in the natural. I know when I was a kid, we there in eighth grade, and there in the neighborhood, we'd run round the block and challenge one another. And so we was all, everybody said, well, y'all can't run. I can do it. And so one old boy said, I can do it. I can run this far. Y'all can't do it. Well, we all said, yes, we could. Everybody started dropping out. He is still going, I'm hurting like everything. I can't hardly breathe. But I won't quit. I just kept on going. And he couldn't believe it. Well, I was in the Army. I went in the Army. I was 23 years old when I had to go in the Army. I was training up here at Fort Leonard, Missouri. And they took our company out. Our lieutenant took our company out. And he said, okay, combat boots, fatigue pants, T-shirts, and this company, every one of you are going to run the mile under 6 minutes, or you're going to wish you had. If you've been in the army, you know what that meant. Well, I guess the reason he did it because he was airborne, and most of the guys that were in our platoon anyway, they were going airborne. We never walked anywhere. Never. We ran or did the airborne shuffle, which I hate. But we did it. I mean, we had been dismissed. We had eaten chow that night. We're dismissed. But if you go to the PX, you better not be caught walking. You run. So we started running. This kid, he took off. I mean, I'm 23. Most of them in there were, 18, 19 years old, 17. And this kid took off running. Of course, I'm an old track man. I said, wait a minute. So I scooted through, got up there about far from here to that pulpit, and I'm staying with him, and he increased his speed, and I increased my speed. We kept running, and he'd increase his speed. So I said, I'll just push him a little bit. So I pulled up on him a little bit, and he increased his speed more, and I just stayed right behind him, about 4 yards behind him. We crossed the finish line. We were a long way in front of everybody else. And he turned around at me. I never will forget this as long as I live. He turned around. He said, "Oh, man, I tried to lose you, and you stayed with me. I just graduated from high school, and I was the Missouri State High School miler. There wasn't anybody in the state of Missouri better than I was in running a mile, and I couldn't shake you, old man." I said, "Buddy, you got a hold of a guy that is determined to not quit. That is what we've got to do, increase our capacity, that we will not quit. Whatever the devil throws at you, you plant your feet and say, 'In the name of Jesus, the word of God says,' and tell him what the word says. Don't tell him what brother so-and-so said. It's all right if he did say it, but what did the word say?" I get so disgusted. Here's what Brother Hagin said. Brother Hagin said, "Well, all he was saying is what the word says, so why use his name?" Because they think that gives it credibility. It don't give it no more credibility. God's the greatest credibility there is. Man, I'm done out of time. And I'm only on page 9. I got to page 15 to finish. God wants us to change our thinking so that we can receive and have the life that he has for us, that he's got planned for us. I want to read Romans 12:2 in the NLT. Romans 12:2 in the NLT. "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know what God's will is for you, which is good and perfect and pleasing." Too often people are thinking in line with what they've seen, what they've heard, or what they've experienced, and it limits their capacity. We need to start thinking in line with the Word of God, which gives us unlimited resources. You go and you check, and it says in this we were looking at from 2016, 70% of lottery winners who receive millions of dollars end up going bankrupt. 70%. They had a change in their amount of money, but they never changed their attitude of how to use that money correctly. Man, I got millions, and they just go spend and spend, spend. After a while, the well runs dry unless you take that and invest it so that you have a continuous supply coming in. That's why we need to do what God tells us in the Word of God. Give and it'll be given unto you. Some people say, oh God, give me this, give me that, but they ain't ever give nothing. How can he give you something if you're not giving? Because you're not doing what the Word says. You want to increase your capacity to receive, then start giving. Oh, it's going to get quiet now because I'm talking about getting in somebody's pocketbook. See, people think that money will solve the problem. Money will only solve the problem if you increase your capacity on how to use it. See, people in the world, if you just stop and think about it for a moment, you're trained to fear, worry, and have anxiety. But God's word trains us to think thoughts of faith, hope, possibilities. Come on. By changing the way you think, it will change the way you act. You know, Brother T.L. Osborne, in his book on how to enjoy plenty, he said, when the mind perceives God's abundance and begins to comprehend that he created the wealth of this earth for the blessings of his children, the walls of mental enslavement begin to crumble and the rainbow of God's plenty appears. When you renew your thinking with the Word of God, you think bigger. You think beyond the natural. You think of the possibilities and not the problem. You know, some people, they just seem to be going through life. Whatever it'll be, will be. I'm talking about Christians. Just walking along. I guess this is what life is going to be like. No, it's not. If you get in the Word of God and change your way of thinking, change your capacity. You ever seen somebody? I've seen some in my lifetime that somebody, they've been told by teachers and parents and relatives, hey, you're not smart, so you're never going to be successful. You're not capable of doing anything. When a person begins to believe that, then they never accomplish anything. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Bible says you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens all things. Don't tell me it can't be done. God said it. When this building was built in 1990, we moved into it in 92, there was not another building like it anywhere in the world, any church in the world. No church had a orchestra pit that come up and down. No church had a stage as big as this. Now, some of them had bigger capacity for seating, but they didn't have, and they didn't have all the, in 92, we were written up in, I don't know how many magazines, sound, lights, building architect. But when we was telling them everything, they said, no, nobody's ever done it. Nobody's ever done that. I said, I don't care. We're doing it. That globe, and they got to work on it to get it to come down. I told them I want a globe that comes down and goes, spins around. They said, well, I don't know. I said, well, what do you mean you don't know? I said, I know they have telescoping stuff, so I've seen it. It can be done. Charlie believed me and others, and they took some rebar and they started bending it and welding it together, and they made a round deal like a globe. Then they covered it with fiberglass, painted it, and had somebody paint the worlds on there, the continents on there, and we got it. But they said, first of all, people said it couldn't be done. I said, why? See, that's the problem. When people tell you it can't be done, you got to say, hey, the Bible says it can. Come on. The Bible says it can. I think there used to be an old, back in the 50s, late 50s, there's a show on TV that says, it can't be done or something. Anyway, people write in and ask for things that they said couldn't be done, and they'd show them it could be done. It was on, they put it on TV. Oh, you asked for it. That was it. Thank you, baby. You asked for it. They'd write in. And it could, but they'd write for things that they thought were impossible. But somebody could do it. See, when somebody tells you, you tell what you're believing God, oh, that's impossible. You say, no. You think that way, just stay over there. I'm over here, I think this way, and I'm going to get it, and you can stay over there and be in your dump. See, you can start believing God for a better place, better house, or whatever. They're over here. You know, well, stay there. If that's where you want to stay, fine, but I'm going over here. My dad used to say, too many people are living down on Grumble Alley right next to Gone Gone Street. You need to take the word of God and move up. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. You know, remember the two blind men? Jesus said, told them, he touched their eyes, and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. I like what the NLT says, because of your faith, it will happen. You know, that's what I'm going to leave you with. It's time to quit. I've gone overboard anyway. Hey, because of your faith, it will happen. Say it. Because of my faith in the Word of God, it will happen. Not going to be, not might, it will, it will, it will happen. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything tonight? Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Reach your hands up to heaven and begin to proclaim whatever it is that you want to receive from him tonight. You begin to take it right now. Say, by faith, I take it right now. By faith, the word of God says that my needs are met. By faith, the word of God says I'm healed. By faith, the word of God says I'm protected. By faith, the word of God says I have. The word of God says I'm above and not beneath. The word of God says I'm going over. I can't go under for going over. The word says it. I believe it. I have it right now. I take it. It's mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know whether I help you or not, but I done got them to preach me happy. Hallelujah. I didn't know when I started out with this, I didn't know how it was going to go or where we were going to go, but it ended up pretty good, didn't it? Hallelujah. And somebody said, well, you had notes. Well, only about half of that was on my notes. The rest of it, I just started rolling with it as the Holy Spirit. Hey, the Word of God. Somebody from about right here over in this area, I don't know who you are, I don't want you to raise your hand, but the Lord said, you've been saying, oh, I wish it could be. Oh, I really wish it could be. Quit wishing, start believing, and stand on the word that you know, that you already know. Quote the word, and you'll see it happen, even though your friend is telling you it can't be done, it won't happen. It will, too. It's somebody in there. I don't know who you are. If that's you, take it. Somebody said, you know, one time I Somebody said to my dad, well, he said that. He said, if it's close to something that you need, grab a hold of it. When God's moving and speaking to others, maybe even though I said it over here, maybe somebody over here needs it. Say, hey, God, I'm over here. I need that. I'm going to take it too. Hallelujah. I better be quiet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the anointing of the power of God in this place. Thank you, Father, that we increase our capacity to receive what you have said belongs to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen.